Tonight, we're continuing our study of spiritual disciplines for the Christian life, and tonight we're looking at lesson number 2, which has to do with Bible intake. Last week, we took some time just to think about the whole idea of spiritual disciplines, what they are, what their purpose is, and we talked about the fact that spiritual disciplines are their work, they're hard practices, things that we have to purposefully put our minds to do, to spend time doing in our lives. They're practices that we do for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of drawing near to God and seeking to pattern our lives after the character of Christ. We talked about the relationship between the spiritual disciplines and the gospel, how that these disciplines, these practices, don't earn in any way our place in heaven. They don't earn salvation for us. Rather, these are practices that God has graciously given to us in His Word so that we might grow closer to Him and demonstrate the faith that He has placed in our hearts and to grow in godliness. And so these are not meritorious in any way, but really they're gifts of grace to help us grow in our walk with the Lord, in that process of growth all the way until we reach glory. So tonight now, we're going to start looking at the specific disciplines themselves. And tonight and next week, we're going to look at Bible intake. And I just want to throw out some questions to you. I don't want to just go through the whole book and do a summary. I want to have a little bit more interaction tonight. And so I'm going to draw on some of the things that he says in the chapter, but I also want to just throw out some questions and get some interaction with you on this matter of Bible intake. And so let me just throw out one to you right now. Let me phrase it this way. How important is Bible intake for the Christian life? How important is the Bible for being a Christian? It's pretty wide open, isn't it? It's food, it's nourishment. Let me lead into it a little bit. Is it possible to even be a Christian without the Bible? Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He uses the example in the chapter of Jonathan Edwards, who came to faith by reading the Scriptures. But the point is still the same, that the Word of God, the message of Christ, has to be communicated through the ears, through the eyes, or I don't know if you read the chapter, but saw the example of the person who learned to read the Bible by Braille using his tongue. Did you read that? He had lost his hands. He was blind. The front of his face was burned. He could not even use his lips. He had heard about someone else doing that, reading by Braille using the lips, and he couldn't even do that because of damage to the nerves in his face. And it dawned on him he could learn to do it with his tongue. And so he learned to read the Bible with Braille using his tongue, instead of feeling with his fingers, feeling with his tongue. But still, somehow the Word of God has to get into our minds, right? And so the main gates for most of us for intaking the Word of God is through the ears and through the eyes. That's the way the vast majority of us take in the Word of God. So we need to hear it. So even to be a Christian, Paul says, you got to have the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to have someone who's sent, a preacher, to go and tell them to receive the Word. So let me ask it this way now. If the Bible is essential for becoming a Christian, is the Bible essential for being one? For growing as one, for remaining as one, and by the way, I don't mean in any way there's some sense of losing salvation. I'm just talking about the fact that the Bible is essential not only to the beginning, but to the whole time of our life in Christ. And so faith comes by hearing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, if we need the Scriptures to become a Christian, then I would also suggest that we need the Scriptures to be and grow and live as a Christian. Donald Whitney in the chapter makes the statement that Bible intake is the single most important of the spiritual disciplines. So of all the ones that we're going to talk about, Bible intake, and that's why he starts with this one, Bible intake is the single most important one. Do you agree with that? You think that's true? That we need the Bible intake as the most important of the things that we can engage in, disciplines, practices that we can do as a part of our life in Christ? I would agree with that. I mean, you might put prayer up there very, very close to necessity and being in Christ, but how do you even know how to pray without the Word, right? How do you even know who God is and how to relate to Him without the Word? How do you know what to pray? How do you know what's right and wrong? How do you know what His will is? The Bible says if you pray according to His will, He hears us. Well, how do you even know what His will is without the Word of God? And so I think it's right. I think Bible intake, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God is absolutely essential for our faith. We are people of the book. People of the book. People of the Scriptures. People of the Word. Jesus says in His great prayer in John 17, "Sanctify them, My disciples, through Your truth. Your Word is truth." And so we are sanctified, made holy, growing in holiness through the truth of the Word of God. It's God's appointed means of our sanctification. So, what would you say about a person who never has any desire, not just a person, what would you say about someone who claims to be a Christian, who has no desire at all to either hear or read the Word of God?
Say they're backslidden, to say the least.
I agree, especially with the last part, to say the least. Right? I mean, in no way do I want to communicate that we are saved by works. But there's got to be a change of heart, right? That regeneration, we talked about this last week, that regeneration, a new life, a new birth, it does something to us, right? It changes us from the inside out. And I think that a part of that regenerative work of God, it's a miracle, right? New birth is a miracle. New birth is not something that we do. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, the Spirit does it. As He wills, as He blows, as the wind blows, the Spirit does it. So it's a miracle, which means if it's a miracle of God, then it has an effect, right? It has an effect. When Jesus was on the boat and He said, "Peace, be still," something happened, right? There was a result. When God says something, when God determines to do something, there is a result. He says, "Let there be light," there's light. Jesus on the boat says, "Peace, be still," it was still. To the demon, "Get out of that man," he comes out. So when the Holy Spirit says to a dead spiritual corpse, "Come alive," he or she comes alive. There's an effect. There's a change. And with that effect, with that coming alive, there's a new sense of awakening to the things of God. Our eyes are opened to see Jesus Christ and His beauty. Our ears are open to hear the truth and to receive them. Our hearts are softened and broken and made alive to receive the implanted seed of the Word of God, to be good ground. So there's a change. And throughout the whole Bible, I mean, we could look at hundreds of places where those who are God's people love His Word. It's just a part of who they are. It would be like saying that somebody can be a Christian without loving. It's impossible. I mean, John says in 1 John, how can someone say they love God but they don't love their brother or sister? He says that person's a liar. So for someone to say, I'm a Christian but I don't love anybody, that's like 1 = 2. It just doesn't work. For someone to say, I'm a Christian but I really don't need the Bible, same thing as like 1 = 2. It just doesn't work. And so, as Christians, we are people of the book. We need to be Marys sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of Christ and being nourished by it, recognizing that that is one of the most important things that we can do in our lives. And so, let me turn a little bit different direction now. Why is it that as Christians, sometimes we struggle in our practice of Bible intake? Why are there times in our lives, and I'm saying we, why are there times in our lives when we struggle at times to be faithful in our Bible intake, whether it be going to church and hearing the word of Christ or in having a regular faithful time of reading, studying the scriptures? Why do you think it is hard at times for us and sometimes we struggle in that faithfulness in that? Hear that, Jackson? She's blaming it on you, man. Yes.
Our life gets in the way.
Yeah.
We're letting it in the way.
Fleshly inclinations. So busyness, just the hustle and bustle of life, our own flesh.
Lay aside every weight and sin that is so easily beset us.
Yeah. Yeah. Other things in the world that are not necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but can be distractions, obstacles. Yeah. Making it a priority. Absolutely right. There has to be a sense of priority in what's important. And not that I want to equate the Bible with God, because the Bible comes from God, but is there a sense in which we can say that in my prioritizing of God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, that the one of the ways that I can most tangibly express that is by spending time in His Word. And so an expression of my worship of God, the fact that God is number one in my life, is that I spend time and make time as a priority for His Word in my life. Would you all agree with that? That, you know, that's one way that we have that God has given to us to commune with Him. Is His Word. And so an expression of my love and worship for God is a love for His Word and spending time in it. Brother Venland was mentioned just our flesh and our frailties of our flesh and the pulls of our flesh. He quotes in the chapter R.C. Sproul when he says, so why do we neglect the study of God's Word? Here's what R.C. Sproul says. Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think that just pure laziness has a role to play in our lack of reading or study of the Word of God?
I don't agree with that 100%.
Don't think so? Well, and it may be that for some it's different.
I think it's the fiery darts of Satan that does it
myself. Yeah.
Well, we all have to combat
Right.
Because we're tempted with everything.
That's the pull of the flesh. You know, there's not just laziness in Bible reading, but really can be laziness in the whole. That's right. That's right.
No, doesn't it have a lot to do, though, with just really believing the truth? I mean, if we really believe what Jesus said, the man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God, well, we sure make the time every day to get three square meals and snacks in between.
Yeah.
And we don't complain about the work that it takes to chew it, to prepare it. I mean, it all involves a lot of work. But
yeah.
We do it.
Right.
That's
primary.
That's primary.
I complain about the plain. So, you know, it is because we don't really believe that it's as essential as God's word says it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a really, really good point. I think there is a close relationship, really, in everything between faith and practice. So a lot of times you can really tell what someone believes by how they live, by how they practice, and someone who neglects the Bible or neglects prayer, I think you're right. There's probably a lack of faith or some doubt or at least some apathy about that, about how important it is, that it is our nourishment for our soul. And your point dovetails with a quote from D.L. Moody that he has in the chapter. And I'm going to see if I can find it, but because it'll be better if I quote D.L. Moody than myself.
Page 28.
Yeah, thank you. Talking about how important the Word of God is for our nourishment, he says, here's D.L. Moody saying, "A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it." So, relating the fact that the Bible is our food, you don't go for 6 months without eating food. You know that you have to have that food every day for the nourishment of your body. But you're right, there are times we don't believe that we don't need it, or times we don't believe that we need it for our souls, to nourish our souls, and need it daily for our souls. So, you know, there's probably several elements involved, and it may not be the same for each person. Someone may struggle with laziness. Someone may struggle with a lack of understanding. It's hard to read. Someone may struggle with priorities in their lives and pulled away by the things of the world. We see that in the parable of the four soils, right? The seed is planted, but what happens? It's choked out by the cares of the world, the roots, the weeds that come up around it. So there's all kinds of reasons. Talking about laziness or even talking about lack of faith, there is what I think in our Christian lives is, and I don't know if someone may else have said this. If not, I'm going to put a copyright on it because I came up with this afternoon. But I'm calling it the gravity of depravity. The gravity of depravity. And so I try to imagine the Christian life as like driving up a hill or hiking up a hill. It involves effort. It involves diligence. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, "With all diligence, add your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control." Paul says in Colossians 1:29, we saw this last week, "I worked hard, mightily, strenuously, with all the energy that God worked in me." So it's hard work. It's like pulling uphill. It's a long pilgrimage. And we're fighting gravity the whole time. And the gravity is our own depravity. It's our own sinful nature, our pull, the flesh, and so the gravity of our depravity pulls us away from the things of God, which means that we need to work diligently with the grace that He supplies to keep moving forward. What happens in a car if you're driving up a hill and you put it in neutral? You'll keep going forward for a little ways, right? You'll have some momentum. And you'll coast for a little ways up the hill, but pretty soon gravity's going to take over. Gravity's going to slow you down. Eventually you're going to stop, and then you're going to start rolling backwards. And so you've got to have it in drive. You got to have it moving forward. And so that all plays into it. I just want to spend a little bit of time thinking about the access that we have to the Word of God. The access that we have. He gives the illustration at the very beginning of the chapter of a place in East Africa that he went to on a missions trip, and the Christian community there was full of immorality. Stealing, lying, cheating, sexual immorality, even amongst the leadership. And he realized after a little time of being there that none of them had a Bible. None of them had a Bible. And so their lives, their the place where they were is directly related to their lack of the Word of God in their lives. We don't have that excuse, do we? We're not in East Africa. We have the Bible everywhere around us. I mean, I've got the Bible right here. There's another pew Bible right here, and right here on my phone, I've probably got 10. And I've also got access to the internet. And with the internet, I could probably get access to the Bible, not only in English, but also in German and Spanish and Latin and Greek and Hebrew, and just by the pushing my buttons on the phone. I can get the Bible in multiple English translations, multiple foreign language translations, and yet we're living in a time in American history when we are the least biblically literate. So that's troublesome, isn't it? That we have a higher access to the Word of God than we've had at any point in history. And yet, in many Western educated civilizations like Europe and America, our literacy, our understanding of even basic truths of the Word of God or even basic stories of the Bible is way, way low. And that's not just of the secular world at large, but that's even true amongst professing Christians in the church. And that's troublesome, that we have access to the Word, but we don't avail ourselves of it. And so he provides in this chapter, there's going to be more next time, but he provides three ways, at least in this chapter, for us to specifically try to intake the Word of God. One of them is hearing. One of them is reading, and one of them is study. So let's just take just a few minutes and talk about those. Hearing the Word of God. What are some ways that you can prioritize hearing the Word of God? Mm-hmm. That's great, and that's another example of the access that we have, isn't it? We, you know, if you think about the times in, I mean, even if you've been with us on Sunday nights in Revelation, we're talking about Revelation probably being a cyclical letter that started in Ephesus, and then they had one copy, and then somebody painstakingly copied the whole book of Revelation by hand, probably on papyrus. And then sent it on to the church in Smyrna. And then they did the same thing and sent it on to the church in Pergamum, all the way through the seven churches. And then from there, it probably extended and was copied on out from there. But most of those people, the only way they could have to hear the Word of God was to come to the assembly of God's people on the Lord's Day, and someone would stand up and read from the scriptures, from a piece of papyrus or from a scroll. That's the only way that they had access to the scriptures. But we have it everywhere. We have it, we can listen to it at all times, anytime that we want to. Even if you haven't bought CDs of the Bible or MP3s of the Bible to listen on your phone, you can also do that free on the internet. So if you've got an internet phone or on your computer, you can go to BibleGateway.com and you can listen to audio of different translations of the Bible. And to put that in perspective, some people complain about time. You know that with an audio Bible, you can listen to the whole Bible in about 71 hours. 71 hours. And in the book, he says that's about the equivalent of what the average American watches in TV in 1 month. So in 71 hours of TV in a month, you can replace that with listening to the Word of God and be through the whole Bible in 1 month. So yeah, that's a great way. CDs or MP3s or online, you can just listen to the Bible. I do it a lot while I'm driving by myself. Sometimes I try to have phone conversations while I'm driving, but you can't do that between here and Fayette. Y'all can attest to that, right? You don't even try to have a phone conversation between here and Fayette because you're gonna lose them. So I don't even bother trying to have a phone conversation between here and Fayette. So that's a good 20 minutes. I can listen to two or three chapters of the Bible in 20 minutes between here and Fayette. If I'm going from here to Birmingham, I can cover a lot of ground in the Bible in an hour and 15 minutes. And so that's a great way to listen to the Word of God. Another way that... Go ahead.
I downloaded on the MP3 player, and we made a trip, Logan and I, to Monroe, Louisiana. I had him listen to several Lloyd Jones sermons.
There you go. That's right. That's right. And that brings up another way, too, is listening to preaching of the Word of God. In two ways. One is every Lord's Day, coming and worshiping with God's people and hearing the Word of God preached and taught faithfully. Finding good Bible-centered preachers that preach the Word of God. And I want to give you caution there, because there are some that aren't worth listening to, but there are some that are. And so if you want to run one past me, I'll let you know what I think. Or run one past Brother Venland, he'll let you know what he thinks. But there are some ones to avoid, but there's some good ones out there that you can find. So hearing the Word of God, regularly attending church and worshiping with God's people, hearing the Word of God read publicly and preached. That's one of the reasons why I like to include a formal Bible reading time, public Bible reading during our worship service. Paul tells Timothy, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. So try to have a time in which we just read through the Scriptures. I've actually heard of a church doing this where they would have a service or a time, a Bible study, and they would come together, and the only thing that they would do is just sit and listen to the Epistle to the Romans. And that was their time. And they would listen to it from 1:1 to the end of chapter 16. And they would listen to the Epistle to the Romans and just Bible intake gathered together in a way very similar to what they probably did in the first century when they received it from Paul. Here's what Paul said. And they sat there probably for an hour, hour and a half, and just listened to it, read. And so intake of the Word of God. There's lots of ways that we can do it. Hearing, reading the Bible. And I would just encourage you to have a time every day that you set aside time. In 5 minutes a day, you can cover the Bible in 3 years. In 15 minutes a day, you can cover the Bible in about a year. And so you can make a lot of progress in Bible reading if you're just consistent. You don't feel like you have to bite off a lot. You can do it in 5, 10, 15 minutes a day and cover some good ground in reading the Scriptures. And like I said, we have it everywhere, don't we? Everywhere. My personal preference when I'm reading the Bible is to not do it on a iPad or some kind of tablet device. Sometimes I will do it on my Kindle. It's just a Kindle reading device because I can't really do a whole lot else on it except read. But one of the things about your phone or an iPad is you could be reading, but then somebody texts you. You know, or you have something programmed in your calendar and a reminder goes off. Or, you know, you're tempted to flip over to another app and see what's going on in the news or whatever. It can be more distracting. And so, you know, maybe a Kindle that's just a dedicated reading device, or I would say just break out your old, good old leather and paper and read the Word of God, because it helps you to focus and put out distractions. What about study? The third way that he talks about is study. What are some ways, well, we'll finish with this. What are some ways that we can slow down? You know, if he talks about reading as kind of like on a speedboat, you know, traveling through the lake, and that, but study is kind of more slowly going across the lake with a glass bottom boat, where you're looking at all the detail and taking some time to think about what you're looking at. So study is a little bit slower. You know, maybe you might take 30 minutes, but you don't cover 10 chapters, you only cover one. And so you spend more time, but cover less ground. And you're really trying to focus in and study what this is saying. And he gives some ways that you can study, just, you know, noting the cross-references. If you've got a Bible with the center column references, or sometimes they're in the margin or maybe at the bottom, little letters that give you a footnote to the cross-reference, either in the middle or on the outside, look those up. Sometimes those are very, very helpful, because it'll show you where maybe a New Testament author is quoting from an Old Testament passage. Maybe you can see what Paul or Peter or one of these authors is doing with a psalm, how they're using it, how they're applying it to Jesus in the New Testament. So the cross-references, taking note of key words, maybe words that are a little bit rare or important words, maybe words that you see pop up here and there throughout the chapter or even in a book, words that are repeated. Lots of ways that you can study. A concordance, a good dictionary is really helpful for study. What are some things that you found helpful in slowing down and trying to study the Word of God?
I've discovered that probably one of the best resources is TSK, Treasure of Scripture Knowledge. Well, that is rich. It'll take you all over the Bible.
Yeah, it's basically like a cross-references on steroids, right? Whereas like in your Bible, you've got a center column reference, maybe where it'll point you to other passages. The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is just that times tenfold, probably 20-fold. It's just got a lot more cross-references and parallel passages in it. That's a good tool. A good concordance is helpful. Honestly, nowadays, if you've got any access to an electronic device at all, you can pretty much get access to a concordance online. And a concordance is useful for two things. A concordance helps you find where things are in the Bible, so you can look up a key word and find the verses where that word is found. And then the concordance, if it's a good concordance, it's also helpful for giving some basic definitions of those words. And so like Strong's Concordance is of the King James Bible. And by the way, a concordance always matches a particular version of the Bible. So if you've got a Strong's Concordance, but you've got an NIV or a NASB or an ESV, you're going to be frustrated, because a concordance is tied to a particular version of the Bible, because it's based on where the words are found in those verses. And so make sure you have a concordance that matches the version of the Bible that you're using. But in the back, it'll have basic short 1, 2, 3 word definitions of biblical words. And that can be helpful as well. So that can be helpful. Go ahead.
Something else that's not necessarily a tool, but maybe a practice that helps me, is to actually try to write something down from what I've read. And so it kind of forces me to think a little bit deeper than just, you know, scanning across the words and taking it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, writing things down is very, very helpful. In one, it helps you slow down and focus on smaller portions at a time. It also helps you retain. You know, you're remembering, because it's just more activity involved in not only reading but writing it down. It's very helpful for remembering things. But yeah, that's a great suggestion. Even just slowing down and writing down thoughts, you know, questions even. Like, even if you don't know the answer, if you're coming across something and you come across a verse and not sure exactly what this means, write that down in your notebook or your journal, your Bible study journal, and just say, here's, you know, John 4:8. I don't even know what that says at the moment, but here's John 4:8, and here's a question I had about it. You know, why does it say it this way? Or what does this mean? And then when you have time, go back and dig in a little bit deeper on that question. But the key with study is time. The key with study is time, slowing down, and being disciplined. The other thing with writing things down is it helps keeps your mind focused. It's hard to wander when you're writing down the word. So I've known people, if you have a problem, we'll get to this later, but if you have a problem with your mind wandering while you're reading, that can help. Just write down some key phrases, write down some key words. I know people who actually write down their prayers or type their prayers on a computer so their mind doesn't wander all over the place while they're praying. Writing helps you focus. It helps you think.
I heard a guy recently, a preacher recently said, if you want to know what God's word is, read it. But if you want to hear him speak, read it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great too, is combine. Right. Combine the reading and the hearing. That's very good too. And that can help you understand, slow down, retain. That's good. Yeah, hear the word of God. Well, these are just some... You have any questions? Maybe if you read through the chapter, as you were thinking through some of the things that he was saying, I was just trying to engage you with some thought questions from the chapter. And we covered the main ideas that the chapter covers, but y'all have any other thoughts or maybe just something that you found helpful in reading the chapter, or maybe a question that you had? Yeah. Yeah. So in the sense of the scripture preparing you for the day and for the temptations or the battles that you may face, that's good. I would just piggyback on that and say take time reading the scriptures when you're more at a peak of alertness. And everybody's body clock is probably a little bit different in that, but a time when you're alert and you're attentive and you can be alone and focus, and so that time just have to be yours, that you find a place, find a time. One last thing that I just thought of, and that is, there's always the danger to think of Bible reading as the goal. We talked about this last week. But the spiritual disciplines are not the goal. The spiritual disciplines are the means to the goal, which the goal is to be godly. The goal is to be like the Lord Jesus in our character, in our behavior, in our thoughts, our attitudes. One of the gracious gifts that God has given to us in that is the Word. And so the Word is a means to grow closer to Him and to walk in His ways. So don't equate Bible reading with holiness. Bible reading is in the path to holiness, and see it as that. And just like you would see a letter from a love letter from your fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, you see that love letter not as the thing in itself, but as the means to the relationship with that person. And so Same thing with the Word of God. It is the means to connect with God and His will for our lives. And so, yeah, John.
You know that passage of something you were saying earlier about, you know, prayer is kind of right up there with the Word of God. But, you know, without the Word of God, prayer would just be a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's God's Word is what He says back to us. And even yep. the Spirit that Jesus promised, He said, He will remind you of what I have said. And so if we haven't read God's Word, then we don't have anything for the Spirit to, you know, to feed us with and to speak to us.
Yeah. That's good.
It's like you're saying, it's part of it's the relationship, it's the give and take. The relationship with God is His Word.
That's right. That's good. Any other thoughts? Well, let's pray and close our time. Lord, You are good to us. We thank You for the great gifts that You have blessed us with. We thank You for the gift of Your Word. And Lord, we confess that there are times when we place other things in front of the Word. Lord, forgive us of that. And Lord, I pray that You would, in Your grace, motivate us, change our affections, give us a love for Your Word, and motivate us to have that diligence to hear and to read regularly and to study Your Word, Lord, so that we might become godly, so that we might be mature in Christ, so that we might grow in our love for You. We thank You for the gifts that You've given. We thank You for Your indwelling Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that we can progress in this path of holiness that You've placed us on. Lord, bless us as we go. And I ask that You would use us as Your channels of blessing in the lives of others. We pray this through Christ. Amen.